All right. Well, thank you for singing along with us tonight. And I'm going to introduce our missionary, Forrest McPhail. I'm going to have him come at this time. Now, those of you that are on Facebook, and I know this is going to be a transition when we start coming back to church full time all the time, because I've watched it on Sunday night on Facebook, and I know all the posting that goes on back and forth between while everything's going on here. So you might want to try to start weaning yourself off of that. But also, I just want to say this for Brother McPhail here. This is the first time he's preached to an empty room tonight, okay? So go easy on him, please. All right, Brother McPhail.
Thank you for that very helpful introduction. I'm so glad to be here, even with a largely empty room. And I would have liked to have seen all of you and have had fellowship with you. And I would have liked to have shaken your hands if it were possible, but that wouldn't have been possible, even if you were here, for many of you. So I'm glad that I can still give a report to you. And I'm going to, like the pastor said, I'm going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to not have a video, I'm going to have a PowerPoint presentation instead and work my message through the PowerPoint presentation. So just like to say once again, if I can start my presentation, there it is. I'm also doing something odd here this evening. I'm looking at a back wall with the slides on it. So that's a new thing for me too. And I've also got this thing hanging on my ears with the microphone touching my cheek, which also makes things a little bit different for me also. But I'll pretend like this isn't here, and we'll be fine. So I am Forrest McPhail. My wife Jennifer is here with me, and also Micaiah and my daughter Sierra. And we have four children, and when we went to the field, we only had a one-and-a-half-year-old, and now we have that one-and-a-half-year-old has graduated from college. So that's how long we've been on the field. And we have served in Cambodia, in Southeast Asia. Those of you who know us are well acquainted with Cambodia. We've been here in the past and have shown presentations about Cambodia, what Cambodia is like, and about the religion there, and about life in Cambodia. And those of you who aren't aware of so much about Cambodia, Cambodia is right between Thailand and Vietnam in Southeast Asia. And Cambodia is a Buddhist country. Folk Buddhism is what the vast majority of people believe in that wide area of Southeast Asia, and that's what we deal with there. Buddhists, idols and statues of Buddha and various spirits are everywhere, temples in every major village, and monks walking around in their orange robes. And Buddhism is basically Hinduism mixed up with animism and ancestor worship and that whole group of ideas and worship of spirits. That's what people believe in Cambodia. And so for the last 20 years, we have been striving to help lay the foundation of the gospel in Cambodia, which was very much a pioneer mission field when we got there in 2000, but has, by God's grace, seen lots of evangelism in the last two decades, and we're very glad to have been a part of that. So when we left in 2000, this was our prayer card. It was black and white, and there's our daughter Savannah. And your church took us on for support before we left for the field in 2000, so it's been over 20 years that we've had this partnership, and some of you have prayed for us during that whole time. And that's a very humbling thing to realize that some of you have been concerned for us that long. And you have given and helped them take care of our needs. You've always been very kind towards us, very gracious towards us with Pastor Newman and now with Brother McPhillips here. And we just thank the Lord for that. So we've had the privilege and the joy of being in Cambodia these last 20 years. And Cambodia, the pastor this morning that I was talking to asked me what Cambodians were like, if they opened up and allowed you to talk to them or not. Cambodians are very friendly by nature as a people. It's easy to talk to Cambodians, and we have been privileged to openly preach Christ there in Cambodia during all of this time, and we just thank the Lord for that. This statue here in the picture is of one of the big idols that you see when you come into the province of Battambang, which neighbors our province, and that's the major spirit that the people in the province worshipped. And he looks down on you with those big white eyes when you come into town there in Battambang. The believers in the church there in Posat, Moral, and Jantan are some who have come to know the Lord there. If you remember the last time that we were here, we talked about how the Lord had really moved us around in ministry a lot because of health issues that I had specifically. And we talked about the fibromyalgia that I deal with, and maybe some of you who are watching this deal with chronic pain issues like fibromyalgia or something similar really impacts your daily life. And I talked about how we had such a burden for continuing church planting in Cambodia, but the Lord just didn't allow that because of the fibromyalgia. And so we began to come alongside of other missionaries and try to help them in their ministries while also doing other things. And we weren't sure what the future held for us in Cambodia because of the limitations that we had. But then, about 2 years ago, Gospel Fellowship Association contacted us and asked us if we would consider, pray about, being the new director for Asia, Pacific, and Australia for Gospel Fellowship Association missions. And being a regional director is something that was new to our mission, and we were to be the guinea pig if we accepted this ministry. And we would take over administration and care of missionaries in that whole region. And GFA had asked us to remain in Cambodia serving as missionaries while also having this ministry as GFA director. And it was absolutely perfect for us with the limitations that God has allowed in my life, and it has worked very well, and we are very blessed and grateful to the Lord for this ministry. So now at 20 years, we're still in Cambodia, though our primary ministry is with Gospel Fellowship Association. We are still in the city of Posat, where our church plant has been planted, and we are assisting other missionaries there in that province and around Cambodia as God gives us opportunity. So there's the regional director for GFA. Jennifer and I serve with GFA as a team. She is not only my coworker and a huge blessing to me as we visit missionaries and as we seek to be a blessing to them. She's also my secretary. So we have a lot of correspondence and administration with these missionaries. And Jennifer is a huge help to me, and we work together in that ministry. We have over about 40 couples and single missionaries that serve in the region of Asia Pacific Australia for GFA, which is all the green there on the map. And within that are 11 different countries. So we just thank the Lord for the opportunity to serve and help shepherd GFA's missionaries in our region. And we praise the Lord for the opportunities that we've had to visit. We visited all of our fields so far but two. We have yet to visit two of them, so we're looking forward to that. COVID-19 has kind of messed up our schedule to getting to those, but we hope to soon. And those are India and New Zealand that we have not been to yet. So what I would like to do is I would like to show you what the Lord has done in the last 2 years in ministry. And I would like to do so by talking to you about rejoicing in weakness from the book of 2 Corinthians. I know most missionaries feel like I do. You come to a church, you try to report, and there are so many things that you wish you could say and express, and you're limited. And you say, well, what, Lord, what should I say? What should I focus on? I can't say everything. There's so much I would love to share and explain and give details about, but what should I focus on? And I believe the Lord would have me focus on with you today about rejoicing in weakness. Rejoicing in weakness. The Apostle Paul, No, this wasn't a photo taken of him back in those days. This is a famous painting of the Apostle Paul here. And as you read the books of 1 and 2 Corinthians, you realize that the Apostle Paul was under attack. He had some serious problems to deal with in Corinth. He had other supposed apostles who were coming and saying that they were apostles, and they were trying to undermine Paul. They were speaking against him, trying to discredit him. They were comparing themselves with him, and they were gaining influence in the church there in Corinth. And the Apostle Paul did not want to defend himself and compare himself with these super apostles, that he called them. But he had to do something because they were discrediting him in that church. The Apostle Paul knew that boasting about himself or trying to make himself look good in front of the Corinthian church was a worthless and deceitful exercise. So he didn't want to do that. So what did Paul do? In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, in verse 17, Paul says, "But he that glories or boasts, let him glory or boast in the Lord. For not he that commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends." It's not important, Paul says, what people think of you. It's important what God thinks of you. The Lord knows who you are, what you have done, what you have not done, what your real testimony is, whether or not you speak for Him or for yourself. God knows that, and it is God's prerogative that matters, Paul says, not man's. Only God's approval counts and even matters, Paul says. But Paul felt like he was forced to illustrate to the Corinthian believers how the Lord had used him to prove to them that, once again, that he was Christ's apostle, and that they needed to turn away from these men that were lifting themselves up and were trying to discredit him. So what kind of proof did the Apostle Paul give to the Corinthians about his legitimacy as an apostle? In his defense, Paul does something kind of strange. He doesn't boast about his accomplishments. The Apostle Paul doesn't say, "Now, let's compare who think they're somebody and want to take over these churches and want to discredit me. Let's compare me with them. How many churches have they started? How many miracles has God done through their hands? Have they been able to take a handkerchief and pray over it and have people grab the handkerchief and take it to the sick and have them be healed? Have they cast out demons? Have they been stoned, be left for dead, and been raised again?" He didn't go through all of these different illustrations of miracles and amazing things, signs that God did through him, as proof of his apostleship before them. He didn't talk about how wonderful his ministry was wherever he went, or how effective his teaching had been. He didn't boast in his accomplishments. He actually does something that throws us a little bit. He gloried or boasted in his weakness. Now, the word "gloried" is an older word that's filled with meaning, but we don't use it a whole lot anymore. If you were to say, "I glory in something," what does that mean? "I gloried in that." Well, a lot of the translations want to translate that word "gloried" as "boasted." Well, the word "boasted" doesn't quite work, though, does it? Because if we say "boast," is that a good word? Is that a positive word? Is that a word, when you hear somebody say, "I boasted about that," you automatically have this negative reaction, because the word "boast" has a negative connotation in our use of English now. So there's not really a good word for that. Paul says, I gloried, or I boasted, or I rejoice in, I exult in my weakness. I count my weakness as being very valuable. That's what I want to draw your attention to. I'm not going to draw your attention to the activities of my ministry. I'm not going to draw your attention to the signs and wonders and visions I've had. I am going to draw your attention to my weakness, the limitations that God has placed upon my life, and how God worked even with and through and because of those weaknesses. So Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23 through 30, since you force me to defend myself, I'm going to defend myself by explaining how limited and weak I've been as a preacher of the gospel. Verse 23 of chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians says, are they ministers of Christ? And here Paul is embarrassingly having to speak on his own behalf. I speak as a fool. I am more of a minister. How do I show that I'm more of a minister of Christ than those men are who keep lifting themselves up? Well, my limitations. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. In other words, the most severe beating, whipping, with lashes that a person could receive according to the law. Verse 25, three times was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, floating on cargo after a ship had sunk. In journeyings often, in perils, dangers of waters, in perils of robbers, being subject to criminals and criminal activity, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, fake Christians, in weariness and in painfulness, in watchings often through the night, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often without food, in suffering through cold and nakedness, exposure to the elements. And beside all those things that are without, that which comes on me daily on my own soul, the care of all the churches, all the places I've gone to preach Christ, the people who believed on Him and the state of their souls and their faith and if they're growing in Christ or falling away or not. All of this is on my heart. Who is weak and I'm not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, if you're going to make me glory in something, if you're going to make me boast of something, I'm going to boast or glory in the things that concern my infirmities, mine infirmities. Again, if I must glory or boast about something, it's going to be about my infirmities. Now, what is an infirmity? If I could see all of you and I were to ask, how many of you have an infirmity? Most likely, a great portion of you would raise your hand. And a lot of those infirmities would be physical problems and limitations and diseases and hardships that you have, or relationship problems, and you would call those things infirmities, weaknesses. So, what made Paul weak? Well, let's just talk about these in general ways. Violent persecution caused him to be weak. The Apostle Paul, have you stopped ever to think about, Paul was human, right? He was just as human as you and I, all right? So what if you were stoned with big rocks and people were standing around you and were hurling those at you with the intent to break your bones and kill you? What would that feel like? Now, God did raise him from being nearly dead or dead. And he's risen up. Did God heal him from all the pain and the bruises of those things? That's not what I understand, that he walked away without any pain. How about when he was beaten with rods three times? What about the fact that he was whipped so horribly and viciously with 39 stripes so several times? What kind of scars did that leave on his body? What kind of pain? What percentage in a year's time of his weeks were spent in agony? He was human. Physical pain, imprisonment. We know what those prisons are like, kind of, back in those days. The conditions, his life constantly threatened, and the fear, the insecurity, not knowing what's going to happen, circumstances happening to him constantly that were outside of his personal control as he traveled around, and these things caused him suffering, tempting him to fear and doubt. Natural hazards that happened to him just because of the lifestyle he had as a missionary traveling around. So many of the things that he suffered from were not direct persecution, but just that's what you got to do to go preach the gospel. And a lot of missionaries today face things like that, especially in third world countries and the most extreme places like Papua New Guinea, where you have so many different dangers. But many today, there are riots going on where people are serving, and refugee crisis is going on, and there's all the crime connected to all those things where people are serving, and they're putting themselves at risk for the gospel's sake. And all of that stuff weighs on your body and your spirit. And Paul had that. The constant contention that Paul had with false teachers. He was dogged everywhere. Man, the poor man couldn't go anywhere without people coming behind him and trying to ruin what he had started. He was often facing these people where he was. Or he would leave a group of people rejoicing in what God had done and get a letter from somebody or word from somebody later that some false teacher had come through and was messing with the congregation. Paul is fighting all of these things. Disappointment with co-workers falling away. People who he thought came to Christ that fell back into sin and false teaching. The spiritual, emotional weakness. Can you identify with some of that? I Googled something like weakness on images to see what would pop up. And this is what popped up on Google Images. Epic fail. Sometimes we feel like an epic fail. Those limitations are just so big. So, do these things make you feel weak? Rejection by friends and family? Persecution on the job? Shaming by the culture these days? We are going to be facing a lot more of this kind of shaming in the days ahead here in the United States. And it's going to come to persecution in real ways, including physical. That's going to come unless God really does something to change the direction. Physical pain. Some of you know the chronic pain and how the physical and financial insecurities that you deal with. Some of you feel, I'm overwhelmed. I can't take it anymore. I am so, there's so many difficulties in my life. There's so much pain. My emotions can't handle any more. I've had too many insecurities. Too many people have disappointed me. Some of you who are listening to me are suffering pain and consequences from sins you've committed in the past. You have failed as a parent in the past. And yes, you've come to the Lord, but now the consequences, they're there, they're painful. And the same is true in marriage. Other people have sinned against you. Some of you have been unwise financially. And you've messed up your life financially. You're trying to straighten things out, and it's so hard. Some of you have fallen into unavoidable debt, and there's nothing you can do, and now you're fighting your way to financial security again. Some people have lost their jobs, and they're wondering what to do about it. What does the future hold? You're just tired. our own lack of faith sometimes wears us down. Our own proneness to wander from the Lord and old temptations that resurface and hound us. And all these kinds of things overwhelm us and work us over. And yet Paul says that he boasted or gloried in his weakness. 2 Corinthians 11. If I must needs glory or boast, if I'm going to have to do this, I'm going to boast in the things that concern my infirmities. So, why would Paul say that the only legitimate way that he could glory or boast would be to be in his weaknesses? I also did an image search on fake happiness. And so I got this image of this boy who is obviously very not happy, and he's trying to smile. What does boasting in our weakness mean? Does it mean that we have some kind of morbid enjoyment of our pain and suffering? Oh, yeah, I love pain. Circumstances in life, I'm so glad that God allowed me to deal with this. Is that what glorying in weakness is? No. Is glorying in weakness continually wallowing in our hardships or complaining about them or reminding other people about how hard our life is in some kind of twisted kind of boasting? No, that's not glorying in weakness. Is it trying to be happy like the kid in this picture, trying to put a good face on your problems and just be positive? No, that's not what Paul's talking about either here. So let's be a little bit more clear on what it means to glory in something. It means that something is worthy of valuing highly. It's something that we can rejoice about. Worthy of giving praise to God about. Worthy of telling others about in a right kind of way. Seriously? We just walked through a list of what the Apostle Paul's life was like. And he says, I am going to glory or boast or look at my weaknesses and limitations this way. I'm going to highly value them. I'm going to rejoice over them. I'm going to praise God for them. What? This is a picture of Michael Carlisle, one of my coworkers in Cambodia, and myself at a village. You can't tell, I don't think, in this picture, but if you could zoom in on it, you would see that we are absolutely worn out. We are just about to pass out sitting in those chairs gathering in a village there. To glory in weakness, to consider our limitations and infirmities as valuable, something to rejoice about, even to exalt in with a good kind of pride. You're probably aware of 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and the Apostle Paul. He just gave that long list of his limitations and weaknesses in the previous chapter. And now we come to chapter 12 and he says he's had so many experiences in the Lord that he needed God to keep him humble. And God put a thorn in his life, a thorn in the flesh. And that thorn in the flesh was some kind of source of pain or limitation or weakness in Paul's life. It's something that Paul really longed to go over. Something he wanted out of his life. And Paul says, I prayed three times in a special way, crying out to God that he would take this thorn out of his life. And what did God say? You have the verse there before you. God said to him, no, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Paraphrase, my grace is enough. I will strengthen you through the weakness made by this thorn. My grace is enough. I will strengthen you through this weakness. No, I'm not going to take it away, Paul. Sometimes we can almost be bitter against the Lord because we know He's the sovereign, almighty God. And we know that He can take away many of the things very easily that we're dealing with. And God says, no. My grace is sufficient. My grace is enough. So since God's grace was enough, since God's grace would strengthen Paul for his ministry, even while he was so weak, Paul said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory or boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory or boast in these limitations. I'll take pleasure in them. Not pleasure like your favorite kind of ice cream and you're delighting in the flavors of that ice cream as you put it down. I like ice cream, as you can tell. Not that kind of pleasure, but I see the high value of. I see the high value of my infirmities, of my shame before men, of these times of being in need and the persecutions, these things that happen to me for Christ's sake. I see the value of them, so I can count them as being valuable. I can take pleasure in them, even though they're painful, even though I wouldn't wish them on anyone. We can boast in our weaknesses and even take pleasure in them in this way. How is this possible? We can boast and even take pleasure in our weakness because of what God does in us and through us, despite our weaknesses and limitations. What God does in us and through us while we are weak. That's what the power of Christ means. God giving us strength to endure. God giving us grace to thrive even while, humanly speaking, we're full of limitations and weaknesses. The power of Christ is not seen in us when we've got it all together, when everything's going our way, everything's working correctly, we're strong, we're very tempted to have confidence in ourselves, to believe in ourselves, to think that we can do it. The power of Christ is seen when we are weak. We can rejoice in the fact that when God works in and through us, in spite of our weaknesses, it displays the power of Christ in us. We can glory in the fact that our weaknesses enable us to better feel and know that the power of Christ is at work in us. When do you feel God's power at work in you? When you need it and God gives it. When you're desperate for grace and you must have that grace and help. That strength. And He gives it to you. He enables you to get through that thing until the end. And you say, God's grace was on me. The power of Christ was working through me and in me, because if He wasn't, I would have really blown it and failed during this. In the last 2 years of ministry, God has done many wonderful things. In spite of our many weaknesses, we have been weak, maybe more weak than ever in our lives during these last 2 years, and God has given us many privileges and blessings. God has allowed many Cambodians to hear the gospel. Many Cambodians have heard God's truth proclaimed through radio ministry in Cambodia that went out through several provinces, through Facebook and YouTube videos. Sermon audio continues to be a blessing to many around the world. Cambodians, just this last month, I was looking at the report for sermon audio, and there are a lot of downloads from the state of New Jersey. Some Cambodians in New Jersey, who no doubt are from Cambodia in New Jersey, discovered a site and downloaded a bunch of those sermons. God continues to use those things. Praise the Lord. In the last couple of months, Chirap has come to saving faith in Christ and was baptized and is faithfully following the Lord. We are able, by God's grace, to be a blessing to the many churches that send and support GFA missionaries by providing all the practical and spiritual support, not all, some of the spiritual and practical support that they need. This picture here is a picture of the directors of Gospel Fellowship Association. And God has allowed us to serve alongside of them. God has blessed us with opportunity to serve alongside of and be an encouragement to missionaries and national co-workers and try to encourage and strengthen them in many different fields, including China, Papua New Guinea, Australia, the Philippines and Taiwan, South Korea, Vietnam, and Thailand. Praise the Lord for being able to serve and to strive to be a blessing to and help shepherd the missionaries under our care in all these places, and to meet those that they're working with and to strive to be a blessing and help to them as well. And God gave us these opportunities, so many, in such a short period of time. A church in Singapore asked us to come and do a week of family camp, church camp, and to preach in Sunday services, and a church of 500-600 people in Singapore. I remember once being there in that church and looking out over that congregation and just being so struck with the fact that there wasn't a single church in the whole country of Cambodia of 13 million people that would have one assembly with this many Bible-believing people in it. And just being amazed at that and wishing that Cambodia would have such a congregation. But God enabled us to do that and be a part of that. God allowed us an opportunity to enjoy fellowship with Filipino pastors in the Philippines and to be a part of teaching in a conference there and be able to address the Bible college students about being missionaries to Southeast Asia. There are a number of Filipinos who are serving in Cambodia, and these students at this Bible college were totally unaware of Buddhism and the needs of Cambodia and Thailand and Vietnam, and had an opportunity to urge them to pray about Southeast Asia and show them what it's like to try to reach Buddhists, as most of them have come from Catholic backgrounds there in the Philippines. God gave us opportunities to be a blessing to God's people through writing articles and blogs and podcast recordings on missions to encourage missionaries and help people understand missions better. God gave so much grace in travel. Every kind of means of travel you can conceive of, we have ridden on it in the last 2 years. Every kind of taxi, the jeepneys in the Philippines, motos of every kind, motorcycles and walking on paths up and down mountains and bullet train in Taiwan and every kind of thing. Walking and walking and walking. Those of you who have chronic fatigue problems, chronic pain problems, know what a lot of walking does to you. Well, it does that to me too. And God gave lots of grace for all of these trips and the airplane rides and the constant conversations with people and the intense opportunities. God gave grace. So much grace. And then God blessed us with the ability to go to the GFA Family Conference each year and to be teaching the missionaries and to be striving to encourage them through that and the Ministry Advanced Training Conference each year. We're able to strive to be a blessing to other missionaries, too, in Cambodia as they're serving. We thank God for our co-laborers around Cambodia who are trying to serve Christ, and God lets us have opportunities to strive to encourage them and Cambodian pastors. Through our ministry with GFA, we have lots of communication via the internet, counseling and helping with strategy and praying with missionaries, holding people accountable for areas they need to grow in their spiritual lives, just staying in touch and finding out about how to pray through every kind of app that's out there. Just about, I've got it on my phone because I'm contacting missionaries that use that app somewhere. So I've got to be on all these things. And God gives grace for all of that. We praise the Lord for blessing us with the opportunity to be a part of an evangelism conference in Phnom Penh with a missionary brother there that I got to preach and explain the gospel and the meaning of the gospel and following Christ all day long that day. When I got there to that meeting, I was in so much pain that I was begging God to help me get up there and teach. I ended up teaching for like 6.5 hours. And apparently my Khmer Cambodian language speaking ability was the best it's ever been, which people say is pretty good anyway, to be better even still that day. God gave grace and enabled for that. And it was a real blessing to people. Praise the Lord for that. Also was invited to speak for a conference of missionaries, some 100 Korean missionaries who have very little training in teaching in missions because there just aren't very many resources in Korean about missions. So if the Korean doesn't know English well, they can't read resources about missions to know how better to go about missions. And I was able to have opportunity to teach for a couple of days for that. Praise the Lord for that. What a blessing that was. God gave grace. Also, God gave us an opportunity to help teach in a missionary kid seminar, MKs. Missionary kids grow up on the mission field, and if they are on a mission field that is extremely unlike the United States, then when they come back and they're trying to adjust to life here in America, sometimes that readjustment can be really hard, even devastating to some MKs if they are not prepared for that transition. And so we had an opportunity to teach on this, and got to help with that. Praise the Lord. The Lord allowed opportunities for us to teach and to have Bible studies with Cambodian men and Cambodian women, to have opportunity in Cambodia sometimes with village ministries out in Talo, or even to this day, Pohon Pana and their family are the only believers out in that village. And sometimes we go out there and seek to help them. God continues to work through the book that we wrote called Pioneer Missions. That book has been translated into Korean now, praise the Lord. And so that has been a blessing. We had an opportunity to see God work in the hearts of some of the believers. These two, the mother and the daughter, Ong and Davin, both fell away from the Lord into sin. And we saw both of them repent and come back to the Lord and faithfully serving Christ again. And we praise God for that. God has blessed us and encouraged us with co-laborers in Cambodia, godly people who are serving the Lord wholeheartedly. The Waldocks and the Carlisles. You see Rachel Waldock with the red hair there, and Julie Carlisle and my wife, surrounded by kids and some Cambodians there. Praise the Lord for opportunities in our home to meet with people for Bible studies, and also for opportunities for evangelism. We've been weak in ways outside of my own personal weaknesses, too. Dengue fever hit us at the end of last year and hit my kids. And here's a picture of Micaiah with dengue fever at a Cambodian clinic. And he's trying really hard not to get behind in school while trying to come through dengue fever. So he attempted to do school while having that illness. So these past 2 years have been just an absolute miracle of grace and strength provided by Jesus Christ. Just amazing. We look at our calendar from this last 2 years, and we just think about all the opportunities we've had, and it's just amazing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for His grace, His enabling, the strength. Every opportunity, every time it's needed, the Lord coming through and providing strength and grace for ministry. Praise the Lord for that. I would like to share with you this quote from John MacArthur from his commentary on 2 Corinthians chapter 12. This paragraph from that commentary is just so much of a blessing to my own heart. It is when believers are out of answers, confidence, and strength, with nowhere else to turn but to God, that they are in a position to be most effective. No one in the kingdom of God is too weak to experience God's power, but many are too confident in their own strength. Physical suffering, mental anguish, disappointment, unfulfillment, and failure squeeze the impurities out of believers' lives, making them pure channels through which God's power can flow. This is truth. This is truth. None are too weak to experience God's power at work in weakness, but many are too confident in their own strength, and so they don't see God work much in them. This is why Paul could boast, glory, and rejoice in his weaknesses, because they forced him to depend on God. And as he depended on God and his weakness and his limitations, knowing full well he couldn't do this without God's grace, God gave him the grace, God gave him the strength, God worked through him anyway, despite all of these limitations, God still worked. And then he says, the power of Christ was with me. The power of Christ was with me. God delights in using weak things. This Cambodian brother here is an Australian now, lives outside of Melbourne, and he aggressively seeks to win his Cambodian brethren to the Lord there in the Melbourne area of Australia. And he's got a rare disease. I can't recall what that is right now, but it causes him all kinds of pain and vertigo, and he's in a wheelchair a lot, and he has a hard time helping his family financially, but he has a passion to win his Cambodians, brothers and fellow Cambodians, to the Lord. No matter how weak and limited he is, he's even studying for the ministry so that he can serve, even as his body declines even more. And God is working through him. God delights in using weak things. We are never too weak to be used of the Lord, but we can very easily be too strong to be used of the Lord because we're confident in our own strength. So this last 2 years for us has been an illustration of God's grace, God's blessing. And we just thank God. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for supporting our ministry and allowing us to have this ministry. And we were just so thankful. So let's pray. Lord, I don't know who has heard this presentation, these scriptures from your word about weakness. Lord, your people, I pray that you would help your people to understand more deeply, be reminded of these truths about weakness and how you delight in using weak things and how you give grace to help in time of need. That Christ's power is seen in them when they in weakness depend upon you and rejoice in what you're doing in them and through them because of the weakness. Lord, you know that your people are the greatest witnesses for Christ when they are weak and not when they are strong. I pray if there are some who do not know you, that have not been able to turn to you in their weaknesses in life because they don't even know you, they haven't been made right with you through Jesus Christ yet, I pray that they would see how alone they are and outside of you they are, and that they would come to you and be made right with you through what Jesus Christ did through his body on the cross. I pray that you'd bless Grace Baptist Church. All of the energy and time that's been put forth in missions conferences and towards missions and people who have given, I pray that you'd bless them for that, that you'd work through them for that. I pray that you'd raise up laborers for the harvest through this ministry, that there would be men and women who commit themselves to serving you throughout the world, because your grace rests on this congregation. We thank you for so much goodness and so much kindness towards us, your people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother McPhail. Appreciate that. And folks, just want to remind you the announcements that I had mentioned earlier before the start of the service. If you have questions about those, please give the office a call. And please remember, pray for each other this week as we venture out into whatever it is God has planned for us. Thank you and have a great week.